Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. And Advent is upon us. And Christmas is near. Tomorrow is the 1st of December. And so, now, it's time for us to get into gear. Let's get into the Christmas spirit. But Advent, very important. Because we are preparing for the coming of the King. As a little baby. Advent, coming of the King. St. Paul teaches us to be ever vigilant, writing, concerning times and seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when people are saying peace and security, then sudden disasters comes upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And St. Paul says, you know, for you yourselves know very well, indicating that he had already been preparing the people to be steadfast. This is exactly what the church continues to do. And St. Paul continues, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, for that day to overtake you like a thief. For all of you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert. Because many who proclaim teachings contrary to the apostles, St. Paul writes, we ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your minds suddenly, or to be alarmed either by a spirit, or by an oral statement, or by a letter allegedly from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. And so, St. Peter writes, "Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him at peace." And so Pope Telephorus, in the year 125, began developing a calendar, as it appears that the Catholic Church instituted the seat of Advent in 567 A.D. through the Council of Tours. It also proclaimed the 12 days of Christmas, December 25th, to the Epiphany, the Manifestation, January 6th, a sacred festival season. And so following the apostolic tradition, the Church Universal proclaims our vigilance about the second coming of Christ as we walk through reading the Advent. This in the scripture readings about the second coming of Christ for preparation for. That's what Advent is about. To prepare us and to... This is a rich season intending to bring us in a heightened Christmas celebration to keep Christ the center of Christmas. And the Advent wreath is part of our long-standing Catholic tradition. However, the actual origins, well, let's take a look at some of this. In the Middle Ages, the Christians adopted, Christ is the light that came into the world to dispel the darkness of sin and to radiate the truth and love of God. And by 16th century, the faithful had more formal practices surrounding the Advent wreath. The symbolism of the Advent wreath is beautiful. The wreath is made of various evergreens signifying continuous life. Even these evergreens have a traditional meaning which can be adapted to our faith. The laurel signifies victory over persecution and suffering. The pine and holly and yew, immortality, and cedar represents strength and healing. And the holly also has a Christian symbolism. The pricky leaves reminds us of the crown of thorns. And one English legend tells us how the cross was made of holly. And the circle of the wreath, which has no beginning or end, symbolizes the eternity of God, the immortality of the soul, and the everlasting life found in Christ. Any pine cones or nuts or seed pods used to decorate the wreath also symbolize life and resurrection. Altogether, the wreath of evergreens depicts the immortality of our soul and the new everlasting life promised to us through Christ, the eternal Word of the Father, who entered our world becoming true man and who was victorious over sin and death through his own passion, death, and resurrection. And so the four candles represents the 4 weeks of Advent. And this is a tradition that goes way back, representing 1,000 years, to sum up the 4,000 years from Adam and Eve until the birth of the Savior. Now, three candles are purple, and one is rose. The purple candles in particular symbolize the prayer, penance, and preparatory sacrifices and good works undertaken at the home. And the rose candle is lit on the third Sunday, what is called the Gaudete Sunday, when the priest also wears rose vestments at the Mass. And Gaudete Sunday is the Sunday of rejoicing. because the faithful have arrived at the midpoint of Advent, when their preparation is now half over and they are close to Christmas. And the progressive lighting of the candles symbolizes the expectation and hope surrounding our Lord's first coming into the world and the anticipation of his second coming to judge the living and the dead. And the light again signifies Christ, the light of the world. And some modern day adaptations include a white candle placed in the middle of the wreath, which represents Christ and is lit on Christmas Eve. Another tradition is to replace the three purple and one rose candles with four white candles, which will be lit throughout Christmas season. And so in family practice, the Advent wreath is most appropriately lit at dinner time after the blessing of the food. A traditional prayer service using the Advent wreath proceeds as follows. On the first Sunday of Advent, the father of the family blesses the wreath, praying, O God, by whose word all things are sanctified, pour forth your blessing upon this wreath, and grant that we who use it may prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ, and may receive from you abundant graces, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. And so that would be the first week. And what continues for each of the days of the first week of Advent? O Lord, stir up your might, we beg you, and come, that by your protection we may deserve to be rescued from the threatening dangers of our sins, and saved by your deliverance, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. And then the youngest child would light one of the candles, in this case, the one purple candle. That's for in the first week, the ending of the first week. So you see. And during the second week of Advent, the Father says, O Lord, stir up our hearts that we may prepare for your only begotten Son, that through his coming we may be made worthy to serve you with pure minds, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. And then the oldest child then lights the purple candle from the first week, and then plus one more purple candle. So then two purple candles would be lit at this point. And during the third week of Advent, the Father prays, O Lord, we beg you, incline your ear to our prayers and enlighten the darkness of our minds by the grace of your visitation, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. And the mother then lights the two previously lit purple candles plus the rose candle. And finally, the Father prays during the fourth week of Advent, O Lord, stir up your power. We pray you, and come with your great might and help us, that with the help of your grace, your merciful forgiveness may hasten what our sins impede, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. Then the Father then lights all the candles of the wreath. And since Advent is a time to stir up our faith in the Lord, the wreath and its prayers provide us a way to document this special preparation for Christmas. Moreover, this good tradition helps us to remain vigilant in our homes and not lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas. how beautiful this is. Now we're getting ready for Christmas. And there's a lot that we're going to be sharing this next coming days, couple, 3 weeks, as Christmas comes upon us, that we believe that Jesus was truly born December 25th, 2 B.C. And we're going to show that from history, tradition, scripture, and hopefully it does matter. So here comes Christmas. We're beginning some of the songs that we love. I love Christmas, always have.
Bethlehem, the wise men three came in. miles and journey long for you, and to the place at which you were there, frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you, and cried out hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
Nothing to protect.
That's what's on the horizon. 2348 BC, the time of the great flood of Noah, it was here that God gave the sign of the rainbow and his promise not to destroy the earth with flood. In 1850 BC, God called Abraham to come out of Ur to Canaan, where the Lord establishes his covenant with mankind through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, promising Abraham, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, and your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in their descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my commands. And Jesus will save himself, being the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. He said, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. John chapter 8, verse 38. In 1250 B.C., Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, it says, a prophet like me, King David, will the Lord your God raise up for you among your own kinsmen. To him shall you listen. At that same time, 1250 B.C., Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, Numbers says, I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel, that shall smite the brow of Moab, till Edom is dispossessed. Now think about this for a second. The star that they're talking about here is the star of Bethlehem. And Edom is King Herod. He was an Edomite. And so he had reason to fear this child. That's why he tried to kill him. Isaiah chapter 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin, the Blessed Virgin Mary, shall be with child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. And 742 B.C., Micah, in the book of Micah, chapter 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient times. And then we see the preparation. On the 9th of Av, in 586 BC, the destruction of the temple. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 18 through 25. And people will often start the priestly rotation on the 1st of Nisan in 538, as it began in 1 Chronicles in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 24. But instead, they resumed their rotation beginning with the 9th of Av. And this broke the cycle of the priestly duties, which would resume in 538. When the Hebrews returned from exile. And this would set the stage for an important event. Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah was conducting his duties about October through the 2nd through the 9th of Yom Kippur. And you can find this in Luke chapter 1, verse 10. In the prophecy of John the Baptist through an angel of the Lord. And in 63 B.C., Pompey, abomination spoken of by the Jewish historian Josephus, that it was 27 years from the date to when Herod captures Jerusalem. In 36 BC, a sabbatical year during the Jewish year festival Yom Kippur, Jerusalem fell to Herod, whose reign begins on the 1st of Nisan, 35 BC. And this is important because Herod's death soon after an eclipse on January 10th, 1 BC. And so King Herod would be the ruling authority in Judea, and he was a puppet of Rome at the time of Christ's birth, December 25th, 2 BC. And September 8th, 18 BC, the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, the new Eve, the woman together with her seed, would bruise the serpent's head while the devil strikes at her, at their feet, at her heel. Genesis 3:15 and Revelation chapter 12. On October 3rd, 3 BC, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the busiest temple day of the temple year, Luke chapter 1:10. Sometime late March, early April, the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and announced the coming of John the Baptist. And then September the 3rd, B.C., the planet Jupiter was in conjunction with Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo the Lion. And this would be the star the wise men would follow, leading them to Bethlehem. And they followed the star for about 16 months until the star rested over Bethlehem for 6 days, beginning on December 25th, 2 B.C., And Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6 states, "Rise up in splendor, your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds covers the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes above and about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. You hear shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you, and the wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." Now, February 2nd, B.C., Caesar Augustus received the title Pater Patria on February the 2nd, B.C., calling for his presence in Rome beginning early fall of 3 B.C. Quirinius, the governor of Syria, Luke chapter 2, verse 2, acted as governor of Palestine through the 2nd B.C. This is important because of the decree of the whole world to be enrolled, which is what leads Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And this fulfills Micah 5, 2. And then March and April 2 B.C., in the 6 months since the announcement of John the Baptist, October B.C., the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and coming to her, he said, "Kekertomini, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom, there will be no end." In March, April 2 B.C., Mary hastens to Elizabeth, who was in her 6th month of pregnancy, and June 25th, 2 BC, the birth of St. John the Baptist. And then 6 months later, December 25th, 2 BC, the birth of Jesus. And so it's all coming in line. And so that is just a portion that I would share about this important timeline. And Catholic Bishop of Caesarea of Palestine, Theophilus, he said this in about 115, we ought to celebrate the birthday of our Lord on what day soever the 25th of December shall happen. So that's going all the way back. And so, but right now we are in Advent and we are preparing for Christmas. And so here at Deeper Truth, we want to wish everybody a preparation, Advent and Christmas, as we get into the Christmas spirit.
Told me our new newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king. This is to honor him when we come. Baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. But may I play for you on my drum? The mother Mary nodded. The ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Then he smiled at me. Me and my drum.
And we will be doing a lot of Christmas here in the next coming weeks, getting ready for Christmas. But God bless you all, and we'll still be doing of earlier on the day, the Stand in the Gap that we do with the saints. We pray for our priests and bishops and seminarians and those who've recently passed and much, much more. So we'll be getting ready and preparing for Christmas. God bless you all.